Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're visiting with Mr. Todd Capone, an acclaimed author, speaker, and sales leadership professional. He is the CEO and founder of Sales Melon LLC, teaching companies, salespeople, and leaders. His expertise is in building the revenue capacity for technology companies, having served in senior leadership roles and helping one organization to a successful IPO, followed by an exit valued at almost $3 billion. His new book is The Transparent Sales Leader, challenges long-held sales leadership standards and provides an easy to implement framework for today's sales leaders, and sounds like some great information to be shared today. And Mr. Capone, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on EPN.
Oh man, thanks for having me on. That was an inspiring start.
Well, it is most deserving, and it has me ready to hear what you have to say for sure. So Mr. Capone, to start things off here today, with so many sales leadership books out there, why the Transparent Sales Leader? Let's start there.
Well, there's two things. First of all, one of the things you didn't mention in my bio is I've got a weird nerdery for sales history. Like when cool people are doing cool things on the weekends, you might find me reading an old sales or sales leadership book from the early 1900s. And so I didn't want to write a book that had been written before because they've all been written a million times. But specifically this one, I don't know about all of your listeners, but for me and my kind of surrounding community of sales leaders, you go from being a sales professional where you've got a process and you got a structure to when you get promoted into sales leadership like I did, it was the most exciting day of my life. Like I finally get to run a sales organization. But 2 days later, I realized, wait, where did my structure go? Like, where did my process go? And I felt like a dog chasing a car down the street every morning, right? Like, you have no idea what direction the car is going to go. You know, it turns left to a recruiting or a personnel issue. There's a deal issue to the right. I got a one-on-one, a board meeting, forecast. I was too much of a nerd to let that happen. And so back in 2008, I created a structure for sales leadership and kind of a process that I selfishly used to not only strategize and plan, but communicate for all my one-on-ones. And like when the bullets start flying, I always have that to fall back on. And it made me sound real smart too. And I could use all the help I could get. And as the economy tightens now and the reliance on really good, effective execution of all things revenue generating, it's like right now is the time to optimize it. And so that's the core of this thing. It's the structure of modern sales leadership, all optimized by science, which kind of leads to some of the counterintuitive stuff, all on a bed of transparency and sincerity. And I feel like now is the time.
Well, I think it's great. And I really do appreciate your taking the time to be with us here today to talk about it as well. Now, the term transparency seems to be used everywhere, but what does it actually mean to be transparent and to be a transparent sales leader? Is that like being authentic? Talk to us about that.
It is not like being authentic. They're both very important. But, you know, one of the jokes as I was talking to somebody years ago was like, hey, what if you're authentically a jerk? But one of the challenges with authentic sales leadership is this idea that leaders then become a bit narcissistic, and sometimes their beliefs, their structures, their processes stand for the team instead of the organizational culture. And so I always warn people, authenticity is like bringing your real self to the table every day. Important, really valuable, but not transparency. Transparency is about always playing your cards face up. My first book was called The Transparency Sale. And it was this idea that transparency actually sells better than perfection. This idea that you and everybody listening, you all read reviews before you buy something online you haven't bought before. But the weird part is you all read the negative reviews first. 85% of you do. And when a product on a 5-star scale has an average review score between a 4.2 and a 4.5, that is optimal for purchase conversion, meaning a product with negative reviews right under it will sell at a higher conversion rate than a product that's got nothing but perfect 5-star reviews. There's a reason for that. we as human beings, we subconsciously know that perfection doesn't exist. And until we're able to get to the negative, we can't possibly even process the positive, which is why we go to the negative reviews first. And that whole concept is not just about when a website's acting as a salesperson. Turns out it absolutely applies to when humans are acting as a salesperson in a B2B type setting. Now, taking those concepts over to leadership, as you could probably imagine through your career, if you've ever worked for somebody who sucks, like, you certainly don't want to run behind them, but you also don't want to run behind somebody that that thinks they're perfect and that all things are perfect. Transparency is about playing your cards face up and being able to go into a situation from a leadership perspective saying, hey, here's what we know. Here's what's certain. Here's how I think. Here's how I plan. And here's what I don't know and where I can need help. I've always felt like the best revenue leadership comes from a place where that leader doesn't believe that they're any better or more important than the people that report to them. They just have different responsibilities. We're all peers with different responsibilities. That's what transparency is about. And you'll find that people want to run behind you. They want to stay. They want to do their best. And they want to advocate for you and your organization when you truly embrace a cards face up approach to the way that you lead.
Well, that's certainly some good information. Just the way you describe that certainly helps us understand that at another level. Thanks for that. Now, salespeople have sales structures and processes. You believe it's possible for sales leaders to have a structure and process too. What do you mean by this? Get into that a little further if you would.
Yeah, I'll make it really easy. What I did back in 2008 is I got on a whiteboard with myself and just said, all right, what are all my responsibilities? Like, when I wake up in the morning, what are these turns that I have to constantly take? And I ended up putting them into a summary that I realized all of your responsibilities as a revenue leader, whether you are an entrepreneur building a new organization or you're a revenue leader, sales leader that's been doing it for 100 years, they all five fall into one of five categories. And me being the dummy that I am, I had to make them alliterative. So they all start with the letter F. I'll rattle off the five for you. And if all of you listening, all you do is write down the five and internalize them, I'm telling you, you could go to sleep and now be 98% ahead of the rest of your peers, whether it's leaders or entrepreneurs. And here they are. You, as a revenue leader, have an initial and ongoing responsibility to what are called five F's of building revenue capacity. The first F is focus. You have an initial and ongoing responsibility to make sure that you and your team spend your most precious commodity that you can turn to revenue, which is your time, and you never get that back, into revenue, optimized revenue, right? So you've got a responsibility to make sure your team is working on the right things, the right opportunities, the right companies, the right demographics, in the right places. That's focus. And I used to call it no science projects. The second F then is you then have a responsibility to build, maintain, and grow your field organization that adheres to that focus, meaning the right people in the right places with the right experience and the right tools and the right resources. All right, so you've got your focus, you build a field to support it. Your third F is to the fundamentals, meaning you as a leader have a responsibility to make sure that you and your team are doing the right things right consistently, right? You know, from your prospecting, positioning, messaging, negotiating, demoing, proposals, negotiating, all of that stuff. Those are the fundamentals. Your fourth F and responsibility that is always ongoing, no surprise, is to the forecast. You've got a responsibility to predict the future and to be proactive instead of reactive and know what KPIs and metrics are really running and driving the future of the business. And then the fifth F, which is arguably the cheesiest, but probably the most important, is fun. You've got a responsibility to build a culture where your team wants to show up every day, stay, do their best, and become advocates for you and your organization. Those are the five F's: focus, field, fundamentals, forecast, and fun. You internalize those. You could literally sit down and do a 30, 60, 90-day plan for yourself in 20 minutes now, and you never have to ask anybody for a template again, but you're going to sound really smart with all you do, and you'll see the holes before they form.
Really some great insight and information shared so far. We really appreciate it. Today we're speaking with Mr. Todd Capone, the CEO and founder of SalesMillan LLC, teaching companies, salespeople, and leaders. His new book is The Transparent Sales Leader, challenges long-held sales leadership standards, and provides an easy-to-implement framework for today's sales leaders here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Capone, there are so many questions that pop up within that structure question earlier, specifically around things like extreme firmographic focus, truly and tangibly becoming buyer-focused for the sake of your forecast, how salespeople have ruined the gifts of technology throughout the history of the profession, and how do you think about sales tech instead? Talk to us about those issues there. That would be great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny, specifically to the technology piece, is, you know, today across the sales community, we keep hearing that sales technology is filling every remaining crevice in the process. And that's a good thing. And it's a revolution. I don't believe it. And I'll tell you the Cliff Notes version of why. I personally believe that the greatest sales tech revolution took place when the notorious AGB, Alexander Graham Bell, back in 1876, made the first phone call, right? On March 10th. And that revolutionized sales to the point where we started seeing it become pervasive in the early 1910s, the 1920s. What's amazing is that in the 1910s, sales as a profession was not only trusted and respected, it was admired. And when we go to its core, we see that it's because sales at the time required a human-to-human connection. You had to look people in the eye face-to-face for any purchase of significance. The evolution and pervasiveness of technology actually removed our face from the sales engagement, right? To the point where you had salespeople using the telephone instead of the human-to-human face-to-face. And the telephone, what an incredible gift. We ruined it. Salespeople ruined it, right? To the point where technologies had to be created to prevent salespeople from using it effectively through things like caller ID and more tools like that. And that didn't work. The government had to get involved and create the Do Not Call registry, which Alexander Graham Bell would probably be rolling over if he knew that by the end of 2021, there were 221 million phone numbers on that list. And it's because of salespeople, right? We did the same thing with email, where email, Ray Tomlinson, 1971, sends out the first email. We ended up ruining that too, right? Where technologies had to be created to prevent it through, you know, spam filters and IP blacklists. And eventually the government had to get involved again with the 2003 Canned Spam Act. All I'm saying is I believe that if we use technology for good, not evil, and we look at it through the buyer's lens, what and how will technology help the buyer to predict, to go through their buying journey more effectively? How can we use technology to differentiate in the way that we sell? It's through that lens that sales technology needs to be thought about and the investments need to be made. And if you're thinking, hey, we're going to use this for scale, scale to me in that context is a dirty word. You're doing it wrong. I think there's an opportunity for us to go back and think to the roots of when sales was admired and think about our impact on buyers in all of our decisions as it comes to technology.
Do you think salespeople are coin operated, and what truly drives salespeople to stay, perform, and become advocates for you and your organization?
Yeah, that's my favorite, right? Yeah, salespeople are coin operated. That's the phrase you heard forever. That's true if you're doing it wrong. That I believe that when you can optimize for engagement, or what I call the science of intrinsic inspiration, I've got a whole section of the book that I kind of break down the elements that contribute to that, where you can create an environment where your sales organization is rewarded for doing work they love to do instead of being paid as the motivator to do it, that's when you win. I've got a whole structure in the book called The Praise Model, but there's six things that contribute to intrinsic inspiration, which means from within, right? It's not the money. It's things like our ability to predict, our ability to get recognized for doing great work, our work meaning something, having an aim, right? An impact, a mission, a purpose, us having a level of independence, us having a level of security and safety and kind of a familial pack, our ability to see things equitable, meaning the juice is worth the squeeze and other people aren't getting paid more to do the same kind of work. You balance those elements and you think about those and you've got a lens to what truly drives us intrinsically to do our best work. And then you pay people as a reward. That's when you win. And I think that's a huge opportunity here. It's part of the reason why the whole great resignation happened over the last couple of years as everybody went remote. We kind of lost our connection. We lost our aim, our mission, our purpose. There's an opportunity to get back to that. And it also is an opportunity for you to optimize the revenue capacity of your teams by using behavioral science for good, not evil.
I certainly appreciate the feedback in those regards. That is also most helpful. Now, also, there are many counterintuitive head slappers in the book, too, around the tradition of making salespeople provide commits and why that's ruining your culture and your forecast, the tradition of starting reps over at zero each year and how that's rewarding your bottom performers while also disengaging your top performers and many others. I'd like to hear your input on this, as this sounds quite interesting, and I'm sure we can learn a few things from that as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, those are two cans of worms, right? Like the commit idea is, I just think that the word commit should be considered a dirty word in sales organizations. It's doing less good than you think. Meaning when we commit, when we're forced to commit, it's actually what I call a petri dish of lies. But what I mean by that is this idea that your top performers, your reps that have got full pipelines, they're going to undercommit, right? Right. And that's a lie. They don't want all the eyeballs on them. Your bottom performers, they're going to overcommit, aren't they? Because, like, hey, well, I'm not an idiot. Of course I'm going to commit my quota. I don't need that kind of arrows shooting at me. And when you commit individual deals, when you force your team to do that, you create an environment where when the deal is going south, you want your rep to come to you first as a leader, right? They come to you last. You're creating this environment. And that's one of those elements of transparency. When we talk about transparent leadership, it's understanding that you can't commit to something you can't control, and to create an environment where reps not only get really good at setting accurate expectations that they can consistently meet, but creating an environment where losing is actually celebrated. And I know that sounds crazy, but I mean, there was a time I had to change the culture of one of my organizations. On a Friday, we actually did a champagne toast for a rep that had lost a big deal, because I needed to change the culture to a place where we were celebrating the effort. I mean, the rep's already getting hit in their pocket and in their quota. We needed to create a culture where we were celebrating the effort, but more importantly, creating an environment where transparency was so pervasive that a rep felt good about sharing why they lost, the truth about why they lost, even if it was their own fault, so that we could learn from those and not lose for the same reason over and over again. So that's the commit one. The other one about the starting over at zero, that's an interesting one to think about when you look at the behavioral science of what happens to us when we are asked to build something. And when we finish building it, it's put on display for us all to see. That inspires us. Let's imagine that we build something and we're paid that same amount, but this time, after we build it, it is disassembled in front of us and we're asked to build it again. Are you as inspired, even though it's the same job and you're paid the same amount? No, all the behavioral science screams that. I believe that when we start reps over at zero each year, to your question there, we're actually penalizing the top performers because now they're back at the starting line, and we're rewarding your bottom performers because, hey, that crappy performance, that's in the past, right? I'm back at zero with those top performers. Look at me. We are disengaging the people that we want to engage and re-engaging the people that maybe we don't. I'm not saying that we get rid of starting over at zero as a policy, but if you can create environments where your reps can see the fruits of their labor over time, right, where we don't clear the scoreboard every year, where they can see the logos that they brought in and the impact that they've had on the business and the customers and their customers, that's when you win. That's when you keep your top performers most engaged. And that's exactly what you want. So those are a couple of examples of just rethinking tradition and using behavioral science to optimize the inspiration of your teams.
Tremendous insight and information. Really do appreciate it. And folks, if you're tuning in today and you're in sales, you need to pick up this book, The Transparent Sales Leader. Mr. Capone, tell us where listeners can get more information on your book, yourself, and also where they can best pick up the book.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on. The easiest place is just toddcapone.com. I'm a Google search away. I've been, I write a lot. I post a lot on LinkedIn too, so you can follow or connect with me there. But toddcapone.com's got all the information that you need, lots of free stuff there. And I'd love to be a resource for you and the team if it makes sense.
Well, that certainly is easy enough, and we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast, as we always do. Mr. Capone, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, that was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Certainly was my pleasure. Anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Todd Capone, the CEO and founder of Sales Melon LLC, that teaches companies, salespeople, and leaders. His new book is The Transparent Sales Leader, challenges long-held sales leadership standards, and provides an easy-to-implement framework for today's sales leaders. And for all the details, simply visit toddcapone.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.